great. I didn't actually know I was the disruptor today, which is quite nice. So I'm definitely putting that on my business card. As the disruptor, I'm actually going to disrupt the flow a little bit. I'm going to ask everyone just to stand up for about 5 seconds. So everyone stand, give the person next to you a high five, reach to the sky, whatever you need to do. All right, and sit back down. All right. So as per the introduction, my name is Nate Stirk. I'm the managing director of a local company called Skills of the Modern Age. Like many of you, my career is already being disrupted. I started selling insurance in a contact centre, not quite sure where my career was going to take me. And 10 years later, I've worked in a variety of roles already in a variety of industries, including healthcare and technology, being a product manager, a product marketing manager, and along the way learning how to code. And so like many of you, I'm sure you're already feeling the changes and stresses that come along with our changing careers. Through that journey, I really developed a passion for three things: education, entrepreneurship, and technology. And so about 12 months ago, I took the leap and I became an entrepreneur and stood up my own company called Skills of the Modern Age. We call ourselves an innovation and design academy, and our mission's all about helping people get excited for the future of work. We've been really lucky to have 3,500 learners through our public programs and corporate collaborations over the last 12 months, and been fortunate to work with some really amazing organisations like SciTech, Western Power, Watercorp, Bankwest, and most of the universities. And so today I'm going to share our journey over the last 12 months on working with these companies and how they're starting to think about this concept of lifelong learning. So there's really four key ideas that underpin our philosophy for the future of work. And you'll notice none of it's about code, none of it's about hard skills. It's very much around this idea of soft skills. And so we embrace the idea of the T-shaped person, which we'll explore in a moment, the idea of the smart creative, the idea of the intrapreneur and creative experimentation, and lastly, and really importantly, this idea of a design-led organisation or a design-led culture. So many of you would be familiar with this idea of the T-shaped employee. No longer can we just be experts in one specific field. We need to be an expert, but also have to have a breadth of wide-ranging skills. So I may be a lawyer or an engineer and be an expert in that one field, but I also need to know how to crunch data, to have leadership skills, to be able to influence people, to have empathy. All these sort of things are really, really critical, and no longer can we just be that one I-shaped person. The second idea is this idea of the smart creative. So the smart creative is the idea, is the concept of embracing creativity and combining that with the power of the analytical brain. This concept comes from Google. There's a book, How Google Works, and they talk about how they hire just for these smart creatives. It's not about their specific expertise. It's about their ability to be able to combine both passion, creativity, and expertise into a really good and solid skill set. The third idea is this idea of, when the clicker works, intrapreneurs. And no, that isn't a typo. For those that have not heard of the term intrapreneur, it's really an entrepreneur within an organisation. And I'm sure if you reflected, you would think of one or two people in your team or in your organisation that acts like an entrepreneur. They're the people that are constantly challenging the status quo, but equally also often creating the new value. And this idea of intrapreneurship is becoming really, really powerful within organisations. And the last philosophy, and really underpins a lot of the work that we do with Soma, is around this idea of design-led companies. And so these are companies that embrace the idea of deep customer empathy, the idea of rapid prototyping and experimentation, of testing and learning, iterative development, all the phases of design thinking throughout all products and services. And McKinsey did a fantastic study published late last year that found that of a base of 300 publicly listed companies, those that embrace philosophies actually had a better commercial return. And so what can seem like fluff, those companies that had design-led cultures had 32% higher revenue and 56% higher shareholder returns. These are things that startups naturally do and why they're so good at responding to change and being adaptable. Locally, there's a bunch of companies that are doing really fantastic work in this space. So we've been working with SciTech to embrace those ideas of creative experimentation and entrepreneurship to co-design new exhibits. So they've been working through those design thinking skills, building up skills, tools and mindsets within our people, not just for the problem at hand, but also for future-proofing their careers. Western Power have been on this journey for a while. We've been working with them with their design thinking program to tackle really challenging problems, even things like this, where we did a two-day design workshop to develop their 2030 digital aspirations, something you would never think this sort of skill set would be used for. Water Corp has also been on this journey for a while now. They've been running an agile innovation program, combining the power of agile and design thinking and bringing their people along the ride and actually creating this idea of entrepreneurship. And lastly, we worked with Land Corp and Memoré last week to run their Innovation Week, which is a really a fantastic experience where we're challenging really, really difficult problems in the land development sector. And so this sort of stuff is really useful and it's really, really important to the future of work. And we know that if we're going to embrace this idea of T-shaped people, right, then we need to get much, much better at doing these sort of things. So as we've been working with these companies, we've been doing a bit of private research using something called the Future of Work Index. So this is a tool that we've created. It's a 45-question Likert survey. We've been working with some of our organisations to understand how their teams and people feel about the future of work. And so it really asks two key questions. How ready is my team for the future of work? And how does my team feel about the future of work? What is their sentiment? And so we're going to explore a couple of the outcomes of this research. So here we see we've, based on those skill sets, based on the readiness and sentiment, we have a model for skill sets, tool sets and mindsets. And we've identified what we believe are the building blocks for future of work readiness. Things like human-centered design, agile work practices, creativity and collaboration. And sentiment, it's broken down into environment and optimism. How's the internal environment supporting development and how are people feeling generally about the future of work? And so based on our pilot sample set of about 198 responses, we can see some really common themes coming out here. So curiosity, purpose and problem solving were seen as common organisational strengths among all the organisations we've worked with. And then some really interesting common challenges. So knowledge of contemporary frameworks and models, things like design thinking, things like agile, etc., the things we always talk about as organisations. Also their ability to have the opportunities to learn new skills. And lastly, a really common thread around how they feel our country is preparing our workers for the future of work. And so we really need to, as organisations, be thinking about how we're adapting our culture, our hiring processes and our development processes to support future of work readiness. And I think all organisations have a duty to their people to really take the front foot when it comes to this conversation. And so if we look at some of this data, 19% of people felt that their workplace, only 19% felt their workplace was actively helping them learn these new skills, and 8% felt encouraged to try new things at work. And we know that is critical to, experimentation is critical to future of work readiness, the idea that I can step outside and do things slightly different to broaden my skill set and experience. And ultimately, every organisation needs to become a learning organisation. The future of work conversation happens not just at an individual level, not just at an employment level, but at an organisational level as well. And so we believe that providing self-directed self-development programs is critical, number one, not just standard out-of-the-box professional development. And secondly, this idea of organisational creative experimentation is really important. Generally, what they're called is innovation programs. We like to call it creative experimentation. And so organisations need to be flexing and giving their people the autonomy and culture and supporting environment to be able to creatively experiment as well as self-direct their personal development. So how do people, based on our data, how do people feel about the future of work? What's their sentiment towards the future of work? Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, 3/4 of people felt that their job was at risk of being replaced by technology and automation. However, only 15% of people thought that we were doing enough as a nation to prepare ourselves and respond to that threat. And we see that data consistently again and again in many of the publications and many of the existing research that's out there. And this is not just a local thing. Many might be following Andrew Yang's nomination for the Republican Party. He's been talking about this idea of universal basic income. So there's these really out there solutions that potentially could be looking to solve these problems. And while they're really important to keep in mind and to continue to have, I think most of all it comes back to these four ideas of T-shaped people, smart creatives, experimentation and design-led cultures. The future is much less about the sort of skills that we're providing people and much more around the culture, the organisation, the mindsets and philosophies that we're providing to allow them to adapt to an uncertain future that we're unsure of today. And so my last statement is just to say that I believe it's everyone's role to promote this idea of lifelong learning. While I might be the disruptor on stage, I think collaboration is definitely the key here. It's going to take us all, both at an individual level, a vocational level, an academic level, to really solve this problem and prepare our workers for the future. So thank you very much. If you're interested in learning more, we're going to be publishing all the data from our Future of Work Index in the next couple of weeks from our pilot sample. So feel free to head to our website, sign up to our newsletter, or have a bit of a chat. Thank you.